A reading from Acts, the 17th chapter. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a great many of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women. But the Jews were jealous. And taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed a mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." And Jason has received them, and they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus. The people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things. And when they had taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. The world is turned upside down. Or at least the world seems to be upside down. Maybe your world feels a bit upside down, having returned from the convention gathering LWML and whatever event I'm forgetting to list circuit of the last several weeks. And you're still not quite certain whether you're coming or going, or maybe you're part of the group gathered here beginning missionary orientation, and your world feels just a little bit upside down this morning as well. Maybe you're trying to determine just which bylaw changes affect your office and your work, and which policies now need to be revised and put before your next board meeting, or whether your department even still exists after said bylaw revision. School will be starting in a few short weeks, and maybe you're not quite sure if your son or daughter is ready for that new year of instruction, or perhaps more importantly, whether you're ready for them to move on to that next year of instruction and everything they will need has been taken care of. Tens of thousands of other details that are part of our daily living and probably running through our minds right now. Or maybe it's worse than that. Maybe a family member is suffering with a serious illness. Maybe you yourself have received a diagnosis that you weren't expecting and you're just not quite sure how to respond to it yet. Maybe there's turmoil in your family. You wonder whether or not it will be able to be resolved in a peaceful manner where you will all once again find that you love and can live with each other. And then there's the upside down nature of our own sin. It actually is worse than all of those other things aforementioned. Sin has turned the world on its head. The changes and chances of life that seem out of our control and upside down are the outgrowth of that sinfulness in the world in which we live and have our being. They afflict us because we live as fallen creatures in the midst of a fallen creation. They affect us because we, like the world around us, are filled with sin. Our old Adam has turned us upside down. Our sinful nature flees from the law of God, flees away from his ways and towards those of our own machinations in every direction but the proper one. Our sinful nature leads us into a murky path of destruction, guile, And in that filth of our sin, we are left beyond just being upside down. We are left dead in our transgressions, condemned in our sin under the law. Which brings us then to this morning's text. Paul and Silas are there teaching in Thessalonica that Christ had to suffer and be raised from the dead, and that Jesus is that Christ who did just that. He had to suffer and be raised from the dead in order that sin might be atoned for. The world was turned upside down. And so there is a kernel of truth in the statement that the Jews made as they drug them before the city authorities. Paul and Silas were turning the world upside down. Their message was contrary to everything in the world in which it was being preached. It was the message of salvation. It turned things upside down because it was the message that one man, Jesus the Christ, had come to die for the sin of the world and to undo all of the things that were part of the world in which these people had their living and their being, those things which they knew in a fallen creation. Yes, there were things being turned upside down because the word of God was being proclaimed. Or perhaps we might put it better than the Jews in our text and say that they were turning things right side up. Christ came into an upside down and fallen world. He entered into the place where everything was upside down and askance and apart from the law of God. He entered into that place of total depravity and condemned sin. He came into a world that wasn't just upside down, but was totally rent asunder. And he made things right. He turned things inside out and right side up by taking the sin of the world upon himself. In place of each and every one of us, he suffered and died the death that we deserved. The holy and righteous Son of God suffered your death and my death. Our punishment meted out upon him, and his righteousness poured out upon us. Yes, things turned right side up indeed, for Christ reversed everything that was wrong. He turned the sinful world back toward himself. Paul and Silas weren't turning things upside down with their messages the Jews proclaimed. They were proclaiming that Christ had undone the sin of the world and that in him there was life. And in him that all things have been made new, and with him shall we live eternally. The world, despite that, is still upside down all around us. We can see some of its upside downness by just gazing out the windows right now. I didn't look, but there may well be those who are upside down and in need of assistance standing in the street trying to find a little help just outside our building right at this moment. And it's far more upside down than just a couple of folks looking for assistance within our eyesight and earshot. All you needed to do was turn on the news this morning and you know how upside down it is. But Christ has called us. He has called us, restored us, and placed us in the midst of an upside down world that we might share that same message with the world that Paul and Silas were proclaiming in Thessalonica in our text. That they too may be turned back right side up. That they too may know the joys of salvation in Jesus Christ, and that together we might rejoice in eternity. So yes, this side of glory, there's a constant effort for sin to turn things over again. But fear not, for in Christ, the world and sin cannot and will not be victorious over us. For it was not victorious over him. All has been made right. Christ has redeemed the world. He has suffered for our sins. In him we are forgiven. Paul and Silas proclaimed the same message that comes to our ears this day and comes out of our mouths as we carry out our service in this place, into the far corners of the earth where the Lord will send us. In Christ, all has been made right. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.